Hello and welcome to Car Talk on National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. And we're broadcasting this week from the Valentine Analysis Center here at Car Talk Plaza.
VAC.
So what did you get your lovely wife for Valentine's Day?
I got her an 82 AMC Concorde. She loves it.
Oh, you didn't get her the lifetime supply of vacuum cleaner bags?
VAC. I mean, it was Valentine Analysis Center. It should be VAC.
Yeah, you didn't, huh?
I didn't. What'd you get your wife?
Well, I it's coming in from the coast. Actually, I got her a replica of the Alamo.
That's important.
Yes, it is.
You know they moved the Alamo?
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that. I have a few letters here.
Oh, you do?
Well,
for those who, I don't have to say, those who've never heard the show before, because no one has ever heard the show before. No one in his or her right mind would listen twice. But a few weeks ago, my dear brother opened his big yapper, and in the context of San Antonio, he said something about, did you know, he said to a caller from San Antonio, that the Alamo was moved from its original location to its current location? And she said, I didn't know that. And we must have got 500 letters from San Antonio saying, what is he talking about?
Well, we're getting letters from Pago Pago. People even knew there.
Pango.
I'll just briefly read through this one. I mean, I don't often read letters, but I was compelled to read at least a sampling of the 500 that came in.
Yes.
I was aghast as I listened to your program, which aired
da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
You discussed our Alamo, and its rather unique location in downtown San Antonio, mentioning a little-known fact that the Alamo had been moved to this present site from another spot 20 miles away.
So you even specified the 20 miles. I remember
I said 20-some-odd miles.
Some-odd, yeah. Fine.
So that it would be more convenient for tourists to see. How could anyone go so far wrong? The Alamo, I can assure you, has never moved an inch. Signed by some guy named Crockett. I don't know. It has been in the exact same spot since 1724 when it was founded as Mission San Antonio de Valero. One of five missions built along the San Antonio River. Wait a minute now. There's a disclaimer here.
Yeah.
There's an out.
Yeah.
I can perhaps forgive you because you may have misread your history. And I do read history rather extensively.
Yes, I
you may have
that.
Read that the mission was moved, which it was. It was originally organized in East Texas, well over 100 miles east of here in 1718. Shortly thereafter, relocated to San Antonio. So it was moved, except not 10 years ago like I thought it was. Anyway.
It was 200 years ago?
Picky, and it was 100 miles instead of 20
some odd
miles.
100 miles east of San Antonio, you're in the Gulf of Mexico.
No, that's south. 100 miles east, you're like...
You're in Louisiana.
No. No, you're on the way to Corpus Christi.
You are?
Yeah.
It's that
Texas,
far?
Texas is big.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah, you have...
I have the east.
You have east coast itis.
You've lived
here to 300 miles, and you've gone through four states in the northeast. Well, anyway, if you'd like to call us, our number is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Mary, and I'm calling from Milwaukee.
Mary!
What's up, Mary? Maria?
What was that joke about? That was the beer that made Milt Famey walk us. Never mind.
too hard. What's up, Mary?
I recently purchased a 1965 Galaxy 500.
Did you really?
Yes. And it's
Isn't it a great car?
It is a fun car. Hey, you know what I lack in looks, I have to make up for in accessories, so I figured why not.
So you accessorized with a 65 Galaxy.
Absolutely. But I have a problem.
Yeah.
Sometimes when I, unless the car is really warmed up very well, I can't get it into gear.
It's an automatic?
Yes. And when I go to leave for work in the morning, sometimes I go to put it in reverse and it won't pop into gear.
The shifter moves, right?
The shift moves.
But nothing happens.
But then you have to floor it, and then it will go into gear. But it doesn't happen all the time.
It's perfectly normal.
Well, I suppose, you know, we all have our... Yeah.
That's how they ran in 65, too. You have checked the automatic transmission fluid?
Yes, I had it checked last week, I think it was, and it's fine.
It may be, but the thing it's in ain't fine.
How long have you had the car now? This looks like months.
2 months.
So you've done really nothing to it.
No.
And you don't know what was done to it earlier.
No.
Was it beautiful when you got it? Was it in great condition?
It's in really good condition. I, of course, bought it sight unseen because that's how you should buy a 65 Galaxy.
Like a blind date.
No. I bought it from another woman, actually.
Yeah.
But I went to get the oil changed and everything, and I was low on transmission fluid, and I had more put in, but it's still doing it.
Oh, that's too bad. Well, that may have been what cooked it. What's your tolerance for bad news?
Oh, I'm Irish. I can handle it.
Have you had a lot of guys looking at you when you're driving this car?
Uh-huh.
That's why you got it, huh?
Yeah. It's an accessory.
Yeah. Well, I mean, let me give it the good news first.
I was groping for some good news,
It's not great news. But it's possible that if you took the car back and asked them to change the transmission fluid and the filter.
Yeah, it might work well enough for you to sell it.
Okay.
It might work well enough for you to live with it, even. It might. And that would be real cheap.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to be the bearer of bad news, so I'll let my brother tell you that, because everyone hates him already anyway.
I have to put a pork chop around my neck to get the dog to play with me. Yeah, no, I think you're done for, and I think you're going to need a complete transmission rebuild.
So, but can I even do that on a 65 Galaxy?
Oh, sure.
Oh, yeah.
You got to find a very old transmission
mechanic. You have to go to, like, a rest home.
And you got to find some old guy named Krusty.
Right. Well, you know, the only guys that ever stop and ask me about my car are old guys. So.
Well, ask them if they ever worked in the transmissions.
I can.
Old guys can be fun, you know.
All right, I'll take your word for it.
So here's the thing to do. First, go and have the automatic transmission fluid drained out and new stuff put in and the filter changed.
Okay.
And see if it gets better.
Okay.
And if it does, forget about it until it happens again. And then you can think about doing something with the transmission rebuild.
Like waxing the car and selling it.
But in any case, I don't think I'd go crazy rebuilding anything of that magnitude unless I had the rest of the car checked out. For example, this could be a rust bucket. Underneath, the frame could be all rotted, and you wouldn't know it because it looks good up top.
Mm-hmm.
So you said you bought it sight unseen, and you haven't had it checked out by anyone, really, have you?
No.
Yeah. You should before you commit to the transmission, have someone check it, because you could be throwing good money after bad.
Okay.
See you, Mary.
Good luck, Mary from Milwaukee.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey, guys. It's Gary from North Hollywood, California, which is kind of a suburb of Los Angeles, California.
What's up?
Well, I have a 94 Toyota Camry XLE, which is the V6 car. And out here in the land of 1,000 freeways, I have a problem on a certain stretch of it. It's the 134 freeway, which goes from about where I live through about to Pasadena. And on that stretch of freeway, the back of the car seems to shimmy as if it's like hydroplaning or something. And it's the weirdest thing, and I don't know whether it's the car or the freeway or what.
Really? It doesn't happen on any other freeways.
Doesn't happen on any other freeway.
And do you tend to drive faster on this freeway than you would on others?
No, I usually go anywhere from about 55 to about 70 when no cops are watching.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you ever been a puppeteer?
No.
All right.
Huh? What was that all about?
You never know. You just never know about these things.
A puppeteer.
Gary sounded like the puppeteer type.
Oh.
Now, when you feel as though you're losing control of the car, do you also feel vibration? Or does it just feels like the back of the car is not where it's supposed to be?
Yeah, it just feels like the back of the car is sort of losing contact with the road.
When was the last time you bought tires?
I bought tires about 6 months ago.
How many?
Four of them.
And when was the last time you put air in those tires?
I just had the car serviced about a week and a half ago.
That doesn't mean anything.
No.
No.
We don't know what they did to the tires.
But here's what I'm going to guess.
Go ahead.
And it is a guess, but I wouldn't be surprised if I'm close to being right. I get close every week on a lot of things.
Close? You know, I mean, if you could be close on everything, that would be great.
Yeah.
Think about how often you're out in left field. and you don't even have a glove. Yeah.
Well, here's my guess.
I think between us, we could be very close.
I think you have overinflated tires.
Okay. Yeah.
And I think
that's too bad, because that's what I was going to say. Now we got nothing else to talk about.
Well, I think also that
you need this, shocks.
You may, but this stretch of road
is bumpy.
Is just bumpy enough.
Okay.
So that it's throwing everything off.
I have never replaced the shocks.
You haven't.
I have.
We're having a special this week.
Oh, there you go.
See, that would exacerbate the situation, because now the car, the slightest little bump, the car will jump up off the road. It won't stay down where it's supposed to.
Uh-huh.
And the back end would do all kinds of funny things. The front end doesn't do as much because there's an engine up there.
Okay.
But even if you had good shocks, overinflated tires could cause squirrely handling.
Yeah, that squirrely is a good word for it.
I think you have both.
Okay.
Yeah.
But that's easy to check. You check the tire pressure.
Uh-huh.
Make sure it's what it's supposed to be.
Like 30. I mean, the fact that you went for a service doesn't mean anything. It could be one of two things, actually.
Uh-huh.
Either they didn't check the tire pressure.
Or they put too much air.
They put too much air in them.
Right.
So give the tire pressure a shot. I think you may be pleasantly surprised.
I would love that.
And if you're not pleasantly surprised, then you also need shocks.
Okay.
Probably.
Easy enough.
See you, Gary.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks for your call.
Good
luck. You bet. Bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Cindy from Dos Ritos, New Mexico.
From where, New Mexico?
Dos Ritos.
Dos Ritos.
Si.
What is a rito?
Two small rivers.
Rito?
Oh. Si.
Yeah. Oh,
Floyd.
Like Rio is a river, but Rito is a little river.
Si.
Oh, a little river. Okay, yeah. Because I thought I knew the word for river.
Like would never, you, for Rio you would
Grande.
Never say Rito Grande.
It's not the Rito Grande.
No, no.
No, because that would be a
contradiction. Anyway, what's going on, Cindy?
Well, it's what went on. 6 weeks ago, I had severe carbon monoxide poisoning.
Ooh.
And a week later, I was driving to the hot springs to chill out because I was still stressed. And I have a Subaru Forester. I, by accident, redlined it because I thought I was in fifth gear and I was driving it in third. The car died within about 10 miles.
How fast were you going in third?
I was probably doing 70. It was certainly no more than a mile.
Could you have been doing 80?
I don't think so. I was on a dirt road.
A dirt road 70 miles an hour.
Is there any chance that you were in first gear? I mean, first, third, and fifth are all... I mean, I could believe if you were in first gear.
Well, you know, see, I had this carbon monoxide poisoning, and I was pretty out of it.
Well, let's go back to that. How did you get carbon monoxide poisoning?
Oh, I moved into a new house, and the guy who installed the wood stove did it wrong.
Oh. It didn't happen in the car.
No, that wasn't in the car.
So you get carbon monoxide poisoning,
and your head wasn't right, Cindy.
That's right.
Your head wasn't right, so you don't know what gear you were in, but you'd think it was third.
Uh-huh.
I agree with my brother. I can't believe that you would get to the red line in third gear.
Well, I suppose it's possible that you did it in third. I'd be more likely to believe it in first.
Yeah.
But the question is, what do you do now? Is that what you want to know?
Well, actually, what happened, it's already been fixed, but I'm calling you guys to assuage my guilt.
No, we might not be able to assuage.
Oh.
We might not be able to do that, but I have to say that I'm a little bit surprised that one lousy mile at the red line revs would fry the engine.
That's what I wanted you to say.
How many miles were on this engine?
52,000.
I think Subaru should be a little embarrassed at this.
Well, Subaru covered it, actually.
They did. Well, they were a little embarrassed at this.
They were a lot embarrassed.
But I didn't tell them the truth about how...
That's all right. We're sending the tape to them right now. We're downloading you as we speak.
So your name isn't Cindy, and you're not from Doritos.
You're on to me.
So why did they willingly give you an engine?
I had a mechanic look at it. He said this should be covered under the powertrain warranty.
Ah, okay.
I called Subaru whatever, and the dealer fixed it before they even called me to ask how it happened.
Well, I'll tell you, you can't run most engines fast enough to destroy them like you used to in the old days.
Uh-huh.
You're not the only one that has done something like driving it in third or maybe even first gear,
uh-huh.
You know, at highway speed. So to protect the engine, they have these safety
governors.
These governors, exactly, built in so that, in fact, the engine, the fuel injectors will shut down when you reach a speed that's dangerous.
Okay.
So I'm suspecting that they rebuilt it because they felt that it wasn't your fault, but rather it was their fault.
Yeah, okay. And that's the best tribunal, not us. I mean, you don't need us to assuage your guilt. Because if they paid for it, I mean, it's free for us, right? We say, Cindy Hall, whoever the heck you are, you're not guilty. But that doesn't cost us anything.
Okay.
But it costs Subaru $3,000 to put a new engine in your car. So they gave you the okay.
Okay.
But it was dumb to drive it through a gear. You know, you still get a dope slap for it.
Well.
You're lucky that they were nice enough to do that.
Yeah.
And I don't think if, in fact, you really were in third gear, you didn't do this.
Okay.
Something was wrong.
Yeah, you were probably out of oil, but that's another topic.
Well, I didn't want to bring that up.
No. See, it's...
So I can sleep well tonight, then.
Oh, absolutely. Just
Gosh.
Like those massages that you got there at the spa. You'll
yeah.
just lie there in bed tonight and say, all is right with the world. Thank God I didn't give my real name.
And just to be on the safe side, leave a window open a crack. You never know.
You never know.
Good luck, Cindy.
Thanks, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hey, do you remember anything at all about last week's puzzler?
Well, I think I remember that I could relate to it.
Oh, that's because it's similar to what happens whenever we work together. I complete a task, then you come along right behind me.
Ah, and I put the last finishing touches on it.
No, you undo it. And I have to start all over. The puzzler was about a long hallway full of lights that were being turned on and off.
I remember it.
And we'll be back with the answer and more of your car questions in just 1 minute.
So don't touch that dial.
Driving down Highway 49. Singing songs helps you pass the time. Mr. Cash on my radio is picking me up. Here I go, hold steady. There's road work ahead. There's road work ahead. There's road work ahead. Slow the truck for road work ahead. Just when I'm feeling fine, makes me want to lose my mind. See that sign for road work ahead.
And even though Italian Americans line up to change their last names to Wilcox whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.
You know, I drive junky cars.
Hello, this is Nina Totenberg.
When my husband and I were courting, he was really scandalized by my very old Mazda 626. And when we were invited to a state dinner at the White House, he said that I should rent a fancier car. I refused, of course. It's amazing to think that I could turn that dumpy car into my favorite program.
Just visit the Car Talk Vehicle Donation Program at cartalkvdp.com. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and the answer to last week's puzzler. And this was from my ceiling light series.
Yeah, this was good.
Yeah, I thought so.
I liked it.
Imagine, if you will, that you have a long, long, long corridor, and in that corridor, attached to the ceiling, are lights, the kind that are operated with a pull cord,
a piece of string, or
a string, or whatever. And there are gazillions of them as far as the eye can see. Let's say there are like 20,000 lights or something. They're on the ceiling in a row, and they're all off.
Uh-huh.
So somebody comes along and pulls on each of the chains and turns each one of the lights on. Another person comes along right behind and pulls the chain on every second light, so 2, 4, 6, 8, et cetera, right?
Yeah.
All those lights, of course, get turned off. A third person comes along and pulls the cord on every third light, 3, 6, 9, 12, 15, you got it, right?
Yeah.
Someone comes along and does
every...
If
you lose count when you're up around 92,000.
Jeez, I got to go back to the beginning. Hey, what are you pulling? Huh? It could be a problem.
Yeah.
Anyway, someone does every fourth, et cetera, turning off some and turning on some, da-da-da-da-da. And so if there are, say, 20,000 lights, someone is going to come skipping along and pull every 20,000th chain, right?
Yeah.
When that happens, some lights will be on and some will be off. And the question was, can you predict which ones will be on? Let's number all the... I'm going to give the answer, right? Let's number all the lights. I'm going to pick one at random. Let's pick a number.
26.
Okay, let's look at light number 26 and figure out if it's going to be on or off.
Yeah.
And to do that, ready for this? All we need to know are the factors of the number 26. Well, what's a factor? A factor is a whole number that will divide evenly into another number, like 26,
yeah,
with nothing left over, no remainder, right?
Yeah.
So the factors of 26 are 1, 26, 13,
and 2.
And 2. Right? And, yeah. And here's why that's important. Because it tells us that light number 26 is going to get its chain pulled 4 times.
How did you figure that out?
Well, when every cord gets pulled,
yeah,
it gets turned on, right?
Right.
It never gets touched again until every, what's the next factor? 2. When every second thing gets pulled, it gets pulled and turned off.
Right.
When every 13th chain gets pulled, mm-hmm. it gets turned back on again.
Yeah.
And it doesn't get touched again until when?
26.
Right? So it gets turned off forever when the 26th thing gets pulled, right?
It's turned off forever.
Never getting, right?
Okay.
Cool, right?
It's
pretty obvious then that every bulb position or location which has an even number of factors will eventually get turned off for good. Because an even number of factors means on, off, on, off, on, off. If it has 30 factors.
Yeah.
Okay, it's eventually going to wind
up. It's going to end up off.
And, of course, all the primes get killed too, like 3, 5, 7, 11, 13, because they have only 2 factors.
Yeah.
So the question is, which lamps remain on? Well, all those represented by a number with an odd number of factors.
Yeah.
And those are, you ready for this? Light bulbs 1, 4, 9, 16, 25,
that's
36, et cetera, et cetera.
That's interesting,
all
isn't
these
it?
Numbers are called perfect squares, and they all, and only they, have an odd number of factors. Because one of the factors is the square root of the number in question. Like 9 has 3 factors, 1 and 9 and 3.
Yeah.
So it goes on, off, on.
On.
Neat, eh? Do we have a winner?
Who cares? Yeah, we do have a winner. And the winner this week is Laurie Warner from Greer, South Carolina. And for having her answer selected at random from among all the correct answers that we got, Laurie gets a $26 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division at cartalk.com. With which she can pick up our new best and second best of Car Talk CD pack.
And we'll throw in a ceiling light, too, because we've got 20,000 of them.
20,000 of them, because we have to figure this out
the hard way.
In situ.
Anyway, we'll have a brand new puzzle coming up in the third half of the show, so don't go anywhere. In the meantime, if you have a question about your car, give us a call. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys. This is Ed calling from Palmyra, Pennsylvania.
How you doing?
I'm building an airplane in my garage.
Oh man.
Another wacko.
Is this the kind of plane that you fly with a remote control thing, or are you going to get in this thing?
No. You get in. It has 2 seats. I could even take a passenger.
Oh, sure.
That's all right.
I'm sure they're lining up.
To go on a test flight. Building an airplane in your garage.
Doesn't everybody?
You know, you'd almost have to live in New Hampshire to do that.
Well, I used to live in New Hampshire, but now I'm in Pennsylvania.
Well, they threw you out because you were too wacko, right?
Is this your own design, or is there like
kit? No, this is a kit.
It's a kit.
So the pieces come, and you rivet them together, and you paint it up, and you put an engine in it, and you go fly.
And what does it cost for a kit like this?
By the time I'm done, I'll probably have $50,000 into it.
Really?
But you'll have a brand new plane.
I mean, what do you want, to live forever?
No, but how about a couple of more weeks? And so how big is this plane? How long and how wide and
well,
stuff?
Well, when I describe it to people, I kind of describe it as like a Mazda Miata with wings.
Oh, it really is like that.
Yeah, it's got like a 30-foot wingspan. It's probably 25 feet long, and it's a little tiny two-seater.
Oh, so you can't put the wings on until you get it outside the garage.
Right. Well, it's only a one-car garage.
Right.
Oh, you can put one wing on.
So what other hobbies have you taken up? And we just like to get some insight into your success rate. You probably have a few questions, and here we are just killing time here.
Well, yeah, I did call up asking for, like, some actual advice.
Well, I just want to go on record here
that
I don't know anything about flying, and I certainly don't know anything about making an airplane, and I certainly don't know how anything that we could tell you could be useful.
Well,
but go fire away, baby.
The question I have actually is automotive. It's almost time for me to choose what kind of engine I want to put in here.
Yeah.
And I could spend $25,000 for a real honest to God aircraft engine, Or I could spend about $15,000 for a converted Subaru 2.5-liter legacy engine.
Right, right, right.
And I don't know anything about these engines, and I'm wondering if you guys can tell me what kind of history you've seen with them. You know, is it a robust enough engine to go for hours at a time at like over 4,000 RPM?
Hey, we just had a call from a woman with a Subaru engine that fried after 50,000 miles.
Oh, forget that then.
Well, but she claims that she had the thing redlined because she was driving it in the wrong gear.
Ah, okay.
This has been retrofitted for aircraft use?
Well, they put a little geared converter on the front so that when the engine is turning, you know, 5,000 RPM, the prop is only turning 2,500 RPM.
Uh-huh.
They mount it on a motor mount for you. They do all the plumbing and adapting and all that kind of stuff.
Jeez.
And what do you get for $25,000? I mean, this is not a place where you want to skimp.
Yeah. I mean, if you're going to skimp anywhere, like skimp on like the landing gear.
I mean, I even buy cheaper wings if I had to.
For $25,000, you basically get 1940s technology. You get an air-cooled engine with magneto ignition, you know, updraft intake, all that kind of stuff.
Not carburetor.
And a carburetor.
Right, and a carburetor.
For $25,000?
Were you buying this from the Billy Mitchell plane factory?
This is what, brand new? I'm telling you, brand new.
But it is time-tested.
Yeah. Tested, yeah.
Well, that's the thing. You know, they're kind of known for being reliable.
They sure are.
I mean, you're not going to be flying at any 30,000 feet.
Well, no.
What do you do, about 400, 500 feet?
How tall is your house?
You just want to miss the aerials.
Yeah, I mean, you can do that. 150 feet is good. See, I have to say that I have no idea how to compare these two engines. I really don't have any idea. If it were I would go with the tried and true, although it's old technology, and it really is. I mean, it's 50-year-old technology.
Yes, it is.
But it works.
Well, we're very fortunate, you know, to have among our listeners people who are pretty knowledgeable about a lot of different things, a lot more knowledgeable than are we. So you can go to our website.
We'll do.
And you will, and you can post your little query here, and you'll get all kinds of opinions.
We'll put a little note right on the homepage of our website asking people for some help, because I'm worried about you, Ed. I mean,
I'm not worried about
you're
Ed
not
at all.
Talking like a normal guy.
No, where's your sense of adventure?
No, Ed, what was the guy who did the thing with the weather balloons?
Oh, yeah.
You know, with the helium balloons in a lawn chair?
Yeah. What was his name?
I don't remember.
He was a cousin of yours, wasn't he?
His name was Walter somebody.
Yeah, for those of you unfamiliar with the story, this fellow bought a bunch of helium-filled weather balloons.
From the government surplus thing.
The government
weather
surplus.
Balloons.
And he attaches them to a folding lawn chair, you know, the kind of aluminum chair with the nylon webbing. And he takes it, and he's got his whole contraption attached to the bumper of his car with a substantial rope. And he cuts the rope and takes off, not knowing where. He will come down.
And he had with him a rifle. Remember that?
Yes, so he could shoot out the balloons to kind of ease his descent.
Larry Walters.
Larry Walters.
David just reminded me of
Larry
name.
Walters is the guy. And at about the third shot, he dropped the rifle.
But, I mean, this guy was seen at like 20,000 feet by pilots over L.A. saying, excuse me, control tower, did I just see what I just saw? Yeah, Larry Walters.
Well, Ed, we want to support you wholeheartedly.
Yeah.
In this.
Uh-huh. And we want to distance ourselves as much as possible from any decision you may make.
Are you married, Ed?
No, I'm not.
Oh, lucky. Oh.
Well, hey, if you want excitement, man, why don't you just get married? Or if you don't want to live too long, why don't you just get married?
No,
if you don't want to live forever.
I don't want to live forever, but I don't want to make it seem like forever.
Oh, you're a great guy, Ed.
Ed, we love you. And we need you to send us some pictures of your work in progress here.
Yeah, that would be great.
I will. When it's done, I'll fly over your house and take a picture of you.
All right. See you later, man.
Adios. Thanks.
I'm glad we didn't offer any advice. We got out of that one nicely, I thought.
Well, I was about to suggest a Subaru engine, actually.
You were. I was afraid of that. Yeah.
You got us out just in time.
Just in time.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, gentlemen. My name is Monica. I'm calling from Colorado.
Hi, Monica.
I have sort of my equivalent of a puzzler for you guys.
Sure.
I was driving a couple of weeks ago through the mountains in Colorado in a very bad snowstorm. And the snow had obscured the sign, so I drove past the turn I wanted to make, and I started looking for some place to turn around to go back.
Mm-hmm.
When I saw what looked like the shoulder of the road, the way the snow had been plowed, it looked like there was a shoulder with a turnaround.
And so instead you fell off the mountain.
Exactly, actually. So I took this hard right to do this big U-ey and discovered that there was only about 4 inches of pavement. So what I've just done is driven off into a snowbank that's about 6 or 8 feet deep.
Wow.
So
really? But not below the level of the road. You just drove into the snowbank and you're staying at the same level of the road?
My car is tilting like 30 or 40 degrees, leaning against the snowbank. And when we dug the front wheels out, we see that the pavement's only about an inch or two from my left wheels.
Yeah.
So we decided to get the car out on our own. I should mention it's a 97 Blazer, and it's in four-wheel drive through all of this.
Yeah.
So everybody else gets out of the car, and we try to get it back on the road. And the guys out, I'm the only one in the car, the guys keep yelling at me to straighten out my wheels. But I'm looking at my steering wheel thinking they are straight. I can read Chevy on it. You know, it's
Oh, you've turned straight. It a whole revolution, though, right? If you can read Chevy, there's more than one orientation of the wheels where you can read Chevy.
Unless you broke a tie rod.
All right, well, go ahead.
So I get tired of having them yell at me to straighten out my wheels, so I open my window and still sitting in the front seat, lean out, and I can see that my wheels are literally at a 90-degree angle.
Yeah.
We eventually get back up on the pavement.
Hmm.
I straighten out my wheels. Everybody gets in. We keep driving. I don't have any trouble.
Except the Chevy thing's upside down now.
No, it's not. So I took it to the garage to see if I had done any damage by driving off this mountain, and I asked them, how is it possible that the front wheels move independently of my steering wheel like this? And they told me it was the darndest thing they'd ever seen, and friends of mine that I related this story to who were less kind just plain told me I was crazy.
Yeah, that's what we're going to tell you, too.
Yeah, we're on the verge of that.
My question to you is, how is it possible that the front wheels of my car could possibly act independently of the steering wheel?
They're not. I mean, the steering wheel turns many times around. Usually you turn three complete turns of the steering wheel to go from straight to left.
Or lock to lock, rather.
From all the way to the right to all the way to the left.
So that's what you think I did. You think I turned my steering wheel?
Oh, no, as you drive.
The snowbank did it. When you plowed into the snowbank,
yeah,
it turned your wheel. You said that your Chevrolet thing was oriented correctly.
Right. Uh-huh.
And yet your wheels were turned almost 90 degrees.
Absolutely, yes.
Which would, if you got in your car right now and turned the thing as far as you could to the right,
uh-huh,
the Chevy thing would come up correct again.
Would it?
Sure. It'll come up correct three times. In fact, when you turn it all the way from the right to all the way to the left.
Oh, I wondered if this was something like ABS brakes where the manufacturers were trying to get clever and make the car do something in four-wheel drive,
yeah.
And I didn't know about it. But
No, there is a rigid connection between the steering wheel and the rest of the steering mechanism on this car.
If you're lucky.
Yeah, if you're lucky. And it's unalterable unless you break something.
But you were right to take it in to have it checked out.
Okay.
Did you tell them about this other little thing about the Chevy emblem and all that?
Sure,
I did. I asked them, and they said it was the darndest thing they'd ever seen and ever heard, and they didn't know what to tell me.
Well, they're nuts. In my opinion.
Well, I think they were being kind.
I think so, too. As they walked away, did you hear them saying, she's a cuckoo? Well, try not to drive off the road anymore.
I'll do that.
Yeah, I mean, four-wheel drive or not, it's not a good idea.
Hey, good luck, Monica.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Hey, you know, I think it's time for us to take a little break.
I have to admit that I've never liked the fact that we take a break during this part of the show. I think it sends the wrong message to the listeners.
Yeah? Well, what message would that be?
Well, that the radio station sounds so much better when we're not talking.
They already know that. We'll be back with more of your calls and a brand new puzzler in just a minute, so don't go away. Well, I got a cat like a big black shark. Take less. Susie's in the back seat picking up a pest. Got my eyes. And even though the Energizer Bunny runs out of juice and keels over whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR.
Hey, if you'd like to hear more Car Talk.
Yeah, like you're a parent and need a scared straight punishment for your kids.
You can download hundreds of classic Car Talk shows.
And by classic, we mean
old. Previously aired.
Exactly.
<you know.
laughs> Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says listen to the show. Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. And we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and the new puzzle.
Wow. Is this going to be scintillating? Is this going to be
folklore? Well, I got to start off with a joke.
Is it part of the puzzler?
So to speak.
Go right ahead.
Back in the days of yesteryear, when the circus was the greatest show on earth,
yeah,
one of the chief attractions was the guy that got shot out of the cannon.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So one day, after the performance, the Ringling Brothers performance, the guy goes to his boss and he says,
I quit.
And that he says, joke? You can't quit. I'll never find a man of your caliber again. Well, that being said,
that's an old joke, man. Even I knew that.
Well, it dates back to the days
to
of the
days when it was the greatest show on earth.
Exactly.
And so that joke is the introduction.
I'm going to segue
into caliber.
Right. Now, I got this information. I received this puzzler from a listener, and I received an email, which I've lost. But here's the puzzle. During World War II, the infantrymen carried a rifle that used 30 caliber ammunition. Now, you might ask, what is a 30 caliber bullet?
Yeah.
I don't really know what the arcane measurement is, but it happens to be 7.62 millimeters is a 30 caliber bullet.
Oh, really?
Yes, or 308 thousandths of an inch.
Really? So there are 4.2 calibers to a millimeter. Really?
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right.
There are.
I'm with you, man. Yeah.
And it just so happened that when hostilities broke out between us and the Japanese, I think they actually broke them out,
yeah,
that they hurriedly began to make rifles that would fire a 31 caliber bullet or a 7.7 millimeter bullet.
Uh-huh.
Why would they do this? That's the question.
Just being contrary, I guess.
Just being contrary.
You would expect the French to do it, but not the Japanese.
Not the Japanese. They're pretty practical. Why would they do that? I mean, they had rifles that had smaller caliber bullets, but they went out and made a 31 caliber rifle.
Yeah.
Why would they do it? And if you think you know the answer,
they probably got the drawings from Italy and they were a little sloppy with the dimensions.
That's exactly it. Now you right.
It's a guy, we got to give you a couple extra calibers.
If you think you know the answer, write it on the back of an Arcade Legends full-size 300-pound gaming system with upright gaming console, 3-inch trackball, 2 joysticks, and 35 preloaded vintage arcade games, including Asteroid, Centipede, and Missile Command. Berman must be building a game room and ship it overnight, please, to Puzzle It Tower.
Overnight, even.
Puzzle It Tower, Car Talk Plaza. They must be putting the finished coat of paint on. Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our Fair City.
Matt 02238.
Or you can email your answer from cartalk.com. But do you know what time it is now?
Time to feed the polar bears in your MG?
No. It's time to play Stump the Chumps! Steve Allen wrote that song, you know. This is the part of the show when we bring back a caller from a previous show to see if we steered that person right or we steered him or her wrong.
Well, more likely steered him right into a ditch. So who's our lucky contestant this
week? Well, it's Fred from Hartford, Connecticut. He is this week's contestant, except that Fred isn't his real name, and he's not even from Hartford, Connecticut.
Well, are we at least sure he was on Car Talk?
Yes, he was.
We must have done a number on this guy if he's resorted to using a phony name.
Actually, Fred used this same alias when he first called us to get help with his predicament.
Oh, yeah. I remember Fred. Hope you'll have a gallon.
A couple of years ago, yeah, my friend bought a new car, and he brought it over, And I looked at it, and I thought it was one of the ugliest things I'd ever seen. But you never tell anybody that. So I said, gee, that's a great-looking car you got there. Oh. And I went on and on how nice a car it was. Well, my wife was standing there watching me say this.
Uh-oh.
Cut to about a few months ago. My wife says, oh, come on down to the garage. You know, I need some help moving something. And the car is there with a big bow on it. And she says, I know you liked it so much, I bought it for you.
That's what you get.
Oh, what a
tangled
web we
weave. Honest.
And so I now have this quandary.
You have to fess up.
All right. I just come clean on the whole thing, right?
I think you just got to. Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
I think you have to come clean.
It's the only way. And you will feel an incredible lightness of being when this happens.
Or an incredible hit to the head.
Yeah. A dope slap may be in order.
Well, that was a doozy.
Actually, it says here it was a used Saab 900.
That means Fred's wife must have spent like $15,000 to buy him that car for his birthday, right?
Jeez.
All right, well, do you suppose Fred actually fessed up and admitted to his wife that he hated the car?
Well, we're going to ask him. Fred, are you there?
Yeah, I am.
Now, Fred, before we hear your answer, do you attest that no one here at Car Talk or National Public Radio or the Chrysler Corporation have offered you any gifts or help with alimony payments in exchange for your response here today on Stump the Love Chumps?
I agree.
You attest. Okay.
I attest.
We're not going to even ask you what your real name is, Fred.
Okay, you wouldn't get it out of me.
We wouldn't get it out of you. So there's the car. There's your wife. There's the ribbon.
What happened?
What'd you do?
I have the worst of both worlds at this point because I made the first mistake of ignoring your advice and saying to myself, you know, if I just suck it up and act like a nice guy and just continue to be very excited about this car or act that way, maybe I can get away with this and just sort of put the problem behind me and just
Fred!
Now, that was my plan until I actually started hearing from many of my friends, many more than I ever thought listened to Car Talk.
Oh,
saying,
they heard the call and recognized your voice.
Hello, Fred from Hartford. And the real problem is my next-door neighbor is the first one who called me. So the problem is not just a business associate or somebody else. It's a joint friend of ours who now knows the secret. And so they're closing in on me, and now I've really got a quandary on my hands.
Well, what's happened, I guess, is that your wife is obviously now knows what's going on, right?
She does not.
No, she doesn't know yet.
It's any day now.
Everyone else that you do business with and you associate with, except for your wife, knows you're a sleazeball.
Exactly.
Oh, you might as well join a monastery.
But wait a minute. I don't think that should be a wah, 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 wah. I mean, he didn't follow our advice.
I did not follow your advice.
He did not follow our advice.
And now I'm twice as terrified because I could have probably gone to her after we talked the first time and told her about it, but now that there's so many people just waiting for me to tell her or waiting to talk to her, somebody's going to spill it.
Ah, Fred, whatever your name is.
What are we going to do now? I mean,
we're not going to do anything.
Right? You don't.
We're all right.
Right? You don't care. You don't want our advice. Obviously, you didn't care about it the first time.
No, but I'd like to come stay with you guys after I tell her about it.
You can stay at my house. I'll understand.
Yeah, you can use the garage. He won't be using it for a few weeks. He's been allowed back in the house.
I better wait till spring, then.
Good luck to you, Fred.
All right.
Thanks for letting us call you back.
All right, guys.
See ya. Oh, he's in trouble.
Oh, boy. Oh, well.
Wouldn't you love to be a fly on the wall when that all comes out, huh? Look, if you hear someone you'd like us to have on Stump the Chumps, email us your suggestion from cartalk.com, or you can call right now, and you can stump us right now in all likelihood. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-782-7825. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, what's up?
Oh, not much.
Oh, not much. We're having a great time, though.
Who's this?
This is Zoe.
Zoe.
Zoe. Yeah.
Where are you from?
How many O's?
One O.
Just one.
I'm from the University of Nebraska.
Ah.
Yeah. University of Nebraska.
Cool.
Yeah. Let me tell you what's going on.
Sure.
I just broke up with my boyfriend.
Uh-huh.
And I guess to kind of get over it, there's this guy that I see, and I've been out of the dating game for a while, and I see him about every Friday, Saturday night because he works down here in my dorm room. And I always talk to him.
He works in your room?
No, not in my room, but in my hall.
Oh, in the door. Okay.
What is he like, the telephone guy?
No, he's like the security guy.
Oh.
Yeah, he lets people in after 12.
Oh, yeah, the old uniform trick.
Does he have a puppy?
No, he doesn't have to wear a uniform.
he wouldn't have to have a uniform.
Preferably not.
So every Friday and Saturday, he's on security duty at the dorm.
Right, and I talked to him. We know each other. And before Christmas break, he gave me his number so that when we went back home, we could get together.
Oh, he goes to school there. Oh.
The security gig is just like student employment.
I get it. Okay.
It's like the alternative to peeling potatoes in the cafeteria. Security says, in the woman's dorm.
Oh, just like being towel boy.
This guy was dying to go to heaven.
Right. So he gave me his number, but we never hooked up, and now I just kind of talk to him or whatever you want.
We need to know his name, I think.
No, we can't. It's personal. I think let's give him a name.
Jim.
Let's call him Vinny.
Okay, we'll call him Vinny.
We'll call him Vinny in quotation marks.
Okay.
Vinny.
Well, anyway, so me and Vinny talk for...
Well, let's call him Franny. Franny and Zoe.
Okay. Better.
The genders are reversed, but so what? Okay, so Fran.
So... Franny, Vinny, whatever his name is. Anyway, I want to ask him to kind of get together and do something out here since we didn't get together back home. But I don't have his phone number, and I don't know if he's interested, and I don't know how to get noticed in that way, I guess. And I was just wondering if you guys could help me out a bit. Maybe, give me some advice.
See, I think you have to make the move, Zoe.
How should I say it, though? I don't want to just say... I don't know.
You're asking us? How the hell could we know that?
Try a line on us. Let's see if we respond to
this. All right, let's set it up. So there I am. I'm standing there guarding the dorm lobby.
I'd say...
Does he wear a gun?
No, he doesn't wear a gun.
No gun.
Okay.
I'd say, hey, Fran, what's up?
Oh, not much. Same old stuff, you know, guarding the lobby.
How's it going? Is it tough or what?
Oh, yeah. I'm busting them. How about you? How's classes? How's everything going?
Oh, it's going all right.
Okay, get to the point.
I could use a break, you know. I don't know. I haven't been out in a while.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Have you been out and about?
Ooh, that was good.
That's good.
That's good. Oh, how about what time do you get off duty?
Oh, he gets off at 4 in the morning.
Oh.
Yeah, but he gets on it.
There you go. Here's what you got to do.
Yeah.
Just when he's getting off, you got to bring him something to eat. Say, look, I was studying and I couldn't sleep, and I know you get off at 4 o'clock.
I don't want to say that.
What? Is there an all night eatery around?
Of course.
There's pizza till 3.
Yeah, but no, there's no all night place where you could go to breakfast at 4.
Perkins.
There you go.
They're open all night.
Yep.
They have eggs.
Yep.
Oh, eggs are romantic.
That's it.
I don't like eggs.
I don't care if you like eggs.
Food is a way to a man's heart.
Mm. I think you have to feign having been up all night studying. At 4 o'clock on a Friday night because you're cramming for some exam or writing a...
I have a test on Monday.
There you go. Test. You're going to flunk the test. We know that because you're going to be out with Vinny or Franny or whoever his name is.
Well, you know, it's really good to know that women struggle over those lines as much as men do.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I always thought that, I mean, if you had to call someone on the phone, it took, I don't know, maybe a week to get up the courage
longer.
To actually dial the number and figure out what is it that you're going to say. And then there were all those false starts. You dial the number, you hang up. Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. I went through that.
You're getting the cold sweats. And then your voice drops down about 4 octaves. When her mother answers the phone, it's always, oh, Lord, get us home. Now, who in their right mind would let you speak to her daughter if you had a voice like that? Yeah, those were scary times.
But guys always think that women are sitting there so cool and aloof, and it's good to know that they are struggling with the same thing.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we're happy to know that you're struggling with this.
I'm thrilled to know this. I am so happy that you're having trouble, Zoe.
Oh, great. Well, thank you.
I think breakfast. I really think you have to wander down. Don't forget, there'll be no one else there at 4 o'clock in the morning. It's about 3:30, 4 o'clock, you've got to wander down to the lobby where you know he is.
To say I needed a change of scenery.
Boy, I'm just killing myself studying for this exam. I need to... you ask him, is there any place around that serves breakfast all night, all around the clock? And he'll say, Perkins. And if he doesn't, you'll say, what about that Perkins place?
Want to go?
Would you like to?
Yeah, I need
I need a cup of coffee real bad. And Steve, would you like to go with me to Perkins and get a cup of coffee and and a muffin? And the rest is up to you.
The rest is up to you.
What if he says no?
If he says no, then...
then that's the end. That's all
right. Then you go for the janitor. Yeah, I mean, you got to give him a couple of chances. After that, the loss is his. Yeah.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I think you'll have success with this.
Ask him to grab this.
I predict. Yes, indeed.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, Zoe.
I'll do that.
See ya.
See you later, guys.
Let us know how you do.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.
Boy, oh, what a tangled web we weave. Well, you've squandered another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk.
I have?
Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion. We know that. Mm-hmm. Berman. Our associate producers are David the Calves of Belleville Green and Catherine Frau Blucher Fenelosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare, assisted by Connie Bridgeford. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. Our theme music is by David Dog Grisman. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the French Soudan Raisin Bran Raw Pecan Goat's Milk Flan and Mugu Guy Pan American Plan, is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Marjan Overa. Our customer care representative is Haywood Jabuzoff. Our long-distance truck driver is Etienne Wheeler. Our public relations consultant is Lila Kadog. Our appointment secretary is Les Dulunch. And our solicitor of new ideas is Obi Quiet. Our meteorologist from the New Delhi office is Luke Ottavindo. Our staff auditor is Euripides Iripidos. Our eBay specialist is Selma Junkoff. Our rental property manager is Ulysses Up.
Euripides Iripidos. That's good.
Our complaint line operator from the Dubai office is Mustafa Wrong Number. Our Russian chauffeur is Pikoff and Dropoff, and our seat cushion tester is Mike Easter. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the slush-encrusted exchange students in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and don't drive like my brother.
Don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1507, download other barely tolerable episodes, and check out our clothing and CD collections all over at cartalk.com, where you can also keep up on actual car news. Now, Car Talk's posse of bloggers posts automotive stories you might have missed, with Car Talk's take on them, of course. For instance, here's a story about the auto industry's increased use of aluminum. Car Talk's take is that GM should stop recalling cars and just urge owners to crush them against their foreheads. Get all of your automotive news from Car Talk's Facebook page or at cartalk.com. Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though little old ladies stomp on their miracle ears whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.